I have an amazing privilege now to invite my son-in-law and daughter to come forward and to share with you what they have been doing and what they hope to be doing in the next four years. I know that not only are they here to share this with you, but they shared this with the church that we had just moved from this morning. And so this has been a great blessing for us to be able to recognize their involvement. And Mike and Cindy, I am going to ask you just to come forward, and we'll give you the what time remains, and we're blessed that you're here.
Cool. All right. So, my name is Mike. This is my wife, Cindy. It's already... Yeah, it is. Yeah, okay.
Hello. Hello.
So, my name is Mike. This is my wife, Cindy. And we have been in Cambodia for 2 years. Our background is I'm in computers. She's a teacher. She's been teaching in the Niagara and Hamilton region for the last few years as a substitute teacher. And I was doing network engineer stuff out there. And that's where we started this whole adventure. In Cambodia... And God was calling us into the mission field. There we go. And God was calling us into the mission field to go and see and work with the people of Cambodia. I'm going to give you a little stats on that. So that's the picture of who we are. Ta-da. So this is who we are. And this is some of the pictures of while we were there. Where is Cambodia? Cambodia is between Vietnam and Thailand, and right underneath Laos. It's a small country that's right about there, give or take. You end up about 200 miles below if you drill right through the earth. So it's as far away from here as possible. We worked in this capital city of Phnom Penh, which has 1.5 million people. Total population in Cambodia is 15 million people. And the percentage of Christians is about 1%, but the people who have heard about Jesus is about 3%, give or take. What is our main draw for us going there and what we do is that we work with students. We work with university students in the Phnom Penh, because there's about 30 universities in the area and about 1 million transient students. The churches there are growing. It's awesome to see. But with these million students that come in, there's just not the manpower for it. And so we're there to be the draw, the attraction, the foreigner! And so they come and they visit and they connect with us. And we teach them English. Now, I should clarify, we do teach them English, we do teach computers, and we do teach music. But that's not the main goal, reason why we're there. That's not the goal. The goal is to build relationships. And when we're building relationships, we make it purposeful. We have game times, we have visiting, we have deeper connection moments where we have like conversations, stuff like that. We play games, we play Uno, we play lots of English games because everyone wants to learn English. But we're being purposeful in building relationships that way. In total, we have about 80 students that come to the ECC every day. Give or take, the program takes about 3 months for them to go through. And so every 3 months, we have a whole new set of students that we're connecting with and building relationships with. And we'd like to just give you an idea about some of the relationships and connections that we've made. We're going to tell you about three people and let you know some of the things God's doing in Cambodia. The first person we're going to talk about is Step. Now, Step was our manager, and he went to university for accounting. Loved it. Loves working with numbers. Not me. Loves working there, and when we started the ECC, he started working in the student center just to have a job, just to get money. But after a while, and as we gained friendship with him, he got it. He got why we were there. He knew it, he found out, and he realized that it wasn't about the education. It wasn't about making sure that we have, you know, 15 students in this class and 10 students in this class, and did you pay your bill? No. It's about the relationship. And that's where he got really connected with us in building that relationship with the students. He would often come and bring the shy Khmer people that were afraid of the foreigner but wanted to be close to them. He would, in Khmer, bring them over, come on. And we'd be able to continue building that relationship. What's cool is through working with us, but working with the students, he gained a passion and a heart for his own people. And starting in September, he actually went and has gone to the northern provinces of Cambodia to work with his own people up there. Got a message from him recently. He's lonely because he's the only Christian out there. But he's serving God. He's serving as a missionary out in the northern provinces of Cambodia. It's so cool to see him grow from just wanting money and wanting a job to serving God. It's awesome. Please pray for Step.
So this is Piyu. Piyu is a 20-year-old young woman, and she was studying an advanced English class with me 2 years ago. Since that time, we have become good friends, to the point that she's like a younger sister to me. We get together all the time just to be together. We do a lot of different activities. Sometimes we're shopping, sometimes we're eating, sometimes we're baking, sometimes we're going to the movies or playing games. We found out that the students really love Uno so much that they're really brutal at it, and we have little chance of ever winning. But they have a lot of fun, and with PU, she's so much fun to spend time with. Oftentimes, because she lived on the other side of the city, we weren't able to physically get together. And so we would chat on Facebook. Facebook is huge. The students in Cambodia don't just use Facebook, they play Facebook. They are on it constantly. And so we had opportunities to chat on a regular basis. And one day we were chatting and she was quite down. She wasn't happy, she was very disappointed. And she shared with me that she had lost her cell phone. She had left it in a restaurant, and when she went back to get it, somebody had taken it. This is huge because for them, cell phone is a lifeline. It keeps them connected to their family, to their school, to pretty much everyone they need to be connected to. So she was very upset. And so I told her I would be praying for her, which thrilled her. And so she said, all right, let's pray right now. And so over Facebook, we started to pray. And it was a time of great fellowship. And it opened up doors for us to share and connect with her more on a spiritual basis. Last year, she went to English camp. English camp is a time when Canadian and American people will come to Cambodia and teach English and do activities to share Christ with them, building relationships. Piyu connected with one of the leaders that came from Cambodia, or from Canada, sorry. And at the end of the week, this young woman who came somewhere from Canada gave her a Bible. Piyu was thrilled. Piyu came running over to me, showed me the Bible, and said, oh, I just got a Bible. It's so exciting. And so I was so touched. I couldn't believe it. Piyu is a Buddhist. She's a very firm Buddhist, along with the rest of her family. But she was so excited to get a Bible. She was so excited to pray with me. We met her mom for breakfast one time. Piyu has a great relationship with her mom. And she tells her everything. And so her mom naturally wanted to know who her daughter's hanging out with so much. And so her mom wanted to have breakfast with us. So one day we met her at a cafe and had breakfast together. Pew's mom does not speak English. Our Khmer is limited. So Pew ended up being translator for the 2 hours that we visited. But we made some great connections with her mom. Her mom is constantly asking, how are Mike and Cindy? What are they doing? When are they coming back? So we have made connections not only with Pew, but with her mom. And since then, we have connected with some of her family. Several months after we had met her mom, we were invited to go with them to their mother's province, the grandmother's province. And so into Cayo, we drove about 2 hours and spent the day with the aunts and the uncles and the cousins and pretty much everybody they were related to. We had a blast. We had such a fun time together, not being able to communicate really well without translators, because, again, our language skills in Cambodian are very limited, and their English skills were also limited. So we had Pew as our translator for the day. But we had a fantastic time. They gave us the I Love Cambodia t-shirts in black, and her mom is the big face at the bottom. We had such an amazing time, and it has opened up an opportunity for us to share God's love with them. Pew is not currently at home. She's not in Phnom Penh. She is studying abroad, and she's not overly comfortable where she is. But not too long ago, I was chatting with her on Facebook, and she was saying that the only reason she feels safe is because we are praying to God for her. We are praying that God will keep her safe wherever she is and whatever she's doing. Pew and her family, they are Buddhist. They follow all of the Buddhist traditions. They have all the offerings. They go to the temples. But their seeds are being planted. And they are learning and hearing about God. Please pray for Pew and her family.
Rut is one of our students who came to the ECC, into the Student Center. He came there simply to learn music. And he went and he learned music and he got it. He learned how to play melody, how to chord, how to one finger here, one finger here. It's amazing what this guy can do. And as his knowledge increased in music, he started coming early to class to practice. He started staying late to visit. And so we would spend time with him. And we would start having these deeper conversations, giving him more information, providing questions and answers. I didn't mention before, but we always used to have a moonwalking competition. And you are looking at the champion right there. He is the best moonwalker the ECC has ever seen. He can just, it's quite amazing. Eventually, he got to the place where he wanted to work and join a band. And Step asked, would you like to join the worship team? May you join the worship team for practice? And so he did. He started joining and playing worship songs. It was awesome to hear. And he started going to church to hear how the practice he was at, but how it actually sounded in real life, he wanted to hear it. He eventually went to youth conference, and he accepted Jesus into his heart and was baptized. How awesome, how amazing. It's great to hear. Soon after that, he was looking for a job, and he came to Step, and Step said, hey, would you like to work at the Student Center? Absolutely. And what's cool is that now Rut is teaching worship songs to his students. A cool thing that happened with Rut is that we went to visit his hometown. Family is very important. So to get invited to the mother's house is amazing. We got invited to the mother's house. The mother wanted to know who we were. So we went and traveled to the house. And we spent the day there, much like we did with Pew's family. But they knew a bit more English. And so we were able to relate. We were able to talk to them. We were able to pray. We were able to connect with them. At the end, we gave them a little bit of money just to help them with the food that they provided for us. And we gave them a Bible. It was awesome to see. After that, we went to his grandmother's house. She is very sickly, very ill. But we got a chance to pray with her. She doesn't understand English, so when we prayed, it was translated. At the end, she was weeping. Their family has heard about God. They've heard about Jesus. It isn't just a name that's out there. They're not Christians. But they have heard. The seeds have been planted. Please pray for Rit and his family.
As my cat moonwalking competitions and they played games together, that was how he was able to connect with students. I was able to connect with students in some of those ways, not moonwalking, but one of the ways I could connect with students outside of the classroom was through baking. Several times I had brought cookies and cupcakes and things to the student center, to the ECC. Whether it was for something special or not, we would find something to bring. I love to bake, and so it just gave me opportunity. As the students began, specifically the girls, as the students began to experience something that really isn't very Cambodian, they would ask me, "Oh, teacher, I want to learn to make cookies with you. Can I come to your house?" And my answer was, absolutely. It was so much fun to have them over. We had an oven. Most Cambodian people do not. And so that gave us opportunity to invite them to our home and to bake cookies. Sometimes it variated. If they had a birthday, "Oh, my brother, his birthday is next week." A cake's really expensive to buy, but you can make one for pretty cheap. And so they'd come over and we would make cake or cupcakes. And they would get them all packed up and take them home. They were so excited about what they were able to do with a little help. They didn't always come over just to bake. Oftentimes they came over just for a new experience. We'd play Uno. We'd play other games. We'd go swimming. We'd just hang out and visit. It was an awesome time to fellowship, to build friendships with them. We went from the student-teacher relationship to a friendship relationship. And having a friendship relationship, we were able to share the love of God. We didn't even really have to say anything. They could just see that there is a difference between our world and their world. Please pray for these students. Some of them came often, some of them came once in a while. But they're all starting to hear and to see that there is something besides their Buddhist traditions, something besides their ritual religion. And God is working in Cambodia. Please pray for these students as they continue to seek out something else.
So why do we tell you this? Why are we sharing? It's not to pat ourselves on the back, "Oh, we did a good job." Because it's not. It's about God. God is moving in Cambodia. God is working in Cambodia. And it is so cool to see how connections and relationships changing and how God is coming into these people's lives. These few examples are just a couple. This has happened over and over again as we connected with different students, different people, and as relationships grew, as it became a friendship, not a teacher-student relationship. So God is moving there. And so we'd like you to be part of it. Simply by praying. Please pray for us. Pray for us as we go back. Please pray for these students the ones that we highlighted here, but the other students as well. There isn't a day that goes by that we don't receive at least one Facebook message from our students. And there's oftentimes we receive 5 to 6. It's almost a full-time job to respond to them because sometimes they're long. But there's questions. Sometimes they're English questions. Sometimes there's relationship questions. Sometimes there's deeper questions. And we're so excited to answer all those. We get so many questions. So when are you coming back? And to that we answer that we are coming back. Now, that says September, so ignore that little part there. January, the end of January 2016 is when we're hoping to head back to Cambodia. Currently, we have passed our psychological testing. We are sane. I know what you're thinking. Whew, wasn't sure there. But we are. It's okay. We're still needing to go through the medical tests, make sure we're not going to, you know, die, right, like in the first year or something like that. So we're still going through that. We're hoping to get the report on that within the next month or so, about November, as the Board of Governors meet and just, you know, approve us. So that's our future plan. And we're going to be going back mostly to do language learning. We talked about earlier how the language is such a hindrance to us sharing God's message. But we are going to be learning there for 2 years the heart language of the Khmer people. We will be going through and we will be learning how to say these words, how to say the words that we need to say in their language. An example of that is the word salvation. The word salvation in English is easy. You were saved. But when you ask a Khmer person about salvation or being saved, they think back to the Khmer Rouge, which happened in 1975 to 79, and they know the Vietnam Army, they saved the people. So he asks, are you saved? They're like, well, yeah, totally. Khmer Rouge, we're here, Vietnam Army came, kicked us out, or kicked them out. It's a different word in Khmer, and so we need to know that word. We need to know how to communicate in God's, or in Khmer, the God in Khmer. There we go. We're also going to be reconnecting with our students and our friends while we're there. Our ministry doesn't stop, but we're not allowed to do any official ministry during those first 2 years. So we'll be doing cake baking. We'll be doing going out. We'll be going out for coffee, going out for food. We'll be meeting up with our students, with our friends, and doing that kind of stuff. While we're there, we'll also be connecting and investigating other options. We might work back at the student center. Who knows? God was totally in that. That was what he wanted us to do. And we might do that again. He might have something bigger and better that we can't even imagine at this point in time. Who knows? So you can join us in praying. Join us in praying for our students, but just join us in prayer, because we are going to be going back, hopefully, if we're healthy, and we'll see what God has for us there. Finally, we'd like to thank you for having us come here and listening to us. It's been great to come here and visit this church, and it's great to come here and express what we are doing and what our passion is. So thank you. We have prayer cards. Oh, I have one. Ooh, it's kind of damaged. We have prayer cards that are nicer than this one because this one's all wrinkly. And it has on it our email address. And if you would like to get our newsletter, we send out one. Right now we do it weekly, and we'll see how that goes. And it talks about some of the culture things that we've seen, but also has prayer requests for our students, for our friends, and for us. So if you would like to receive that, you certainly can do that. We have brought coffee. We have brought Cambodian coffee, and for those people who don't like coffee, now this does have caffeine, so if you don't like caffeine, we're sorry. But this is an amazing coffee. It's a very mild coffee that has a nice, almost chocolatey taste to it. So I would, even if you don't like coffee, just try a little bit. We've had some people who say, oh, I do not like coffee at all. And they had, you know, the little sip, and they're like, and they filled it up. So, we have some Cambodian coffee out in the for you there. And we'd love to talk and visit with you and talk to you a little bit more about what's happening in Cambodia. It's so awesome to see what God is doing there. And we thank you for listening to us and your prayer and support. So thank you. So let's hand this over to Pastor Tyler.
Before they get away, does anybody have any questions for Mike and Cindy? Want to give that opportunity before they get off out from in front of everybody here. Okay, let's say I thought Paul's hand was getting ready to shoot up.
How restrictive is the Buddhist religion when these kids come to know the Lord? Like, is it some kind of culture for the family will just disown them and kick them out?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So the question was, how restrictive is Buddhism towards the students who have come to know Christ? And it is a fine line, because Buddhism and the Cambodian attitude towards it, it's about luck. So if a student or comes to Christ and he doesn't follow the religious practices of Buddhism, and any bad luck befalls the family, he is blamed for that bad luck because he didn't do that. So it's a fine line. He won't be disowned, but he will be blamed. And so it's working with the students, and this is where Steph, our manager, came in really well, because he is a seasoned Christian. He's been working with Christians for a while. How to walk that line? Do you go to the temples? You don't pray to the statues, but do you go to the temples? Going in the temples isn't a bad thing, but you can pray to Jesus when you're in the temples just as well as you can pray at home. And so that's one of the options that they do there. So it does not tear families apart, but does definitely cause difficulty. No, it's not a persecution. It's an open country, which is great, but it's as long as the church itself does not congregate outside of the church building, they're under no persecution. If they would go to a park and congregate, it almost looks like a protest, and that's where it gets a little bit iffy. And so you have to be very careful that if you're going to go out somewhere, you get the proper authorization to do that, or else the police will come and disrupt your service outside. So. It's very similar to Chinese, or the question was, what is the written language of Khmer like? And it's very similar to Chinese or Japanese, but instead of having hard characters, it's a lot of rounded characters. And so it's not like our Latin alphabet. It's actually very difficult to read. But there's, I forget how many, I think there's 39... Yeah, 39 consonants and 27 vowels or something like that. So it's enough. It will probably take us the full 2 years to learn that. I'll be starting learning the written language when we go back, and Cindy will probably be learning a month or two after me, because I'm a little bit more advanced in my language learning at this point in time. Yeah, she likes reading. And I just like talking. It's always a bad thing. Any other questions? Yes. What do Buddhists believe? So there's Buddhists believe that Buddha. They believe in reincarnation, and you're trying to get to a higher plane. The Cambodian people have taken that idea of getting to a higher plane, getting enlightened, and reincarnation, and they've added animism, which is belief in spirits, into the mix. So often when they pray and they offer sacrifices of food and whatnot to the gods, small g there, they are praying to Buddha, but they're also praying for their ancestors to give them good luck. We've asked many, many people, how does it work? Because reincarnation, praying for the ancestors, the two don't meld. It just doesn't work. And we haven't got a good answer yet. We've asked, you know, seasoned missionaries who have been there for 20 years, how does this work? Because we're curious. And they're like, the Khmer people, they have it working perfectly for them. We ask them to explain, and they can't. So it's a mixture of Buddhism and animism, where they believe that there's spirits in animals and in things as well. Okay? Yes?
So how do you share Christ?
How do we share Christ? By building relationships. So first off, you go there and we connect with them. We can't just go to street corner and, hey, you need to become a Christian. Once you have the relationship, once you've connected with them deeper, you're able to go through and talk to them about the differences. So Buddha is not necessarily there. You don't have to worry about bad luck anymore. Jesus is can help you. We had one student, he was working on trying to do his exams, and he was failing miserably at it. Nothing was sticking. And so we talked to him and said, hey, you should try praying to Jesus, because Jesus is your helper. He will help you remember things. He will help you do things. And so later on in the week, he came back and, oh, Mike, I prayed. I'm like, oh, good, excellent. And how'd that go? And he said, you know what? As soon as I prayed, I started remembering things. Jesus, help me. And that's how we go from there. So we go along that line. A lot of times the evangelism beyond the simple is done by the Khmer people, simply because our language skills aren't that good. Oh, okay, yes. They often go to Romans. They also go to John. Like that what you're asking?
Okay.
So they'll go through that process, and like the Roman Road of Salvation, they'll go through that kind of thing individually and one by one that way.
It's a very relational thing. The older generation continues to follow the Buddhist tradition. But because all these transient students come to Phnom Penh, they're separated from their family. And they're starting to look for something else. They're starting to realize that the Buddhist transition is about fear. God is about love. And they're starting to see that, and they're starting to ask questions. And so when they see that we have made the trip across the world, like, why are you here? And we get that question a lot. And we love when we get that question, simply because it opens up opportunities for us to share why we actually are there. It has absolutely nothing to do with English. English just gets us in. And so it provides us with examples or with opportunities just to love.
Any other questions? Going.
All right. Well, I know Brian is dying to get at the coffee, just absolutely dying to try some of the coffee. But we're going to spend a few minutes as a family here praying for Mike and Cindy, and I kicked around about four different ways that I was going to do this, and I decided that I'm just going to open it up for the church family to pray for Mike and Cindy. It's an opportunity for us to connect with and continue to see what God is doing in another place around the world. It's a way for us to continue to connect with Pastor Mark and Sue and to love them by engaging with and loving their kids, and an opportunity for us just to partner with all those things. And so anyhow, I'm just going to open it up and encourage you guys to pray. Ladies, you can please join in. This is not a has to be a male-only thing. And so I'm going to give an opportunity for you guys to pray, and then when things tail off, I will wrap us up, and then we can fellowship for the rest of the evening. So.